Chris Parker with me. And Chris, I'm watching what's happening in Texas and the suffering of the people there, even now, days into the second week after that horrible storm. And I want to understand what I believe to be true, which is that that couldn't happen here. Can you help me understand what's different about Texas and Utah in terms of utilities?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll hesitate to say it couldn't happen here, right? You don't ever want to like lay an absolute like that. But certainly our system locally and even regionally is far different than Texas's system. And in fact, you know, most of the grid that we're connected with is used to inhospitable weather, right? I mean, Pacific Corp, which is Rocky Mountain Power's parent company, they've got a lot of power generation and distribution and transmission facilities in Idaho, Wyoming, you know, the Northwest, obviously in Utah. And we're used to cold climates, we're used to storms, and so we've prepared for that. So those facilities are hardened against that. On top of that, the transmission system that we're a part of is the Western regional area, and it stretches basically from Alberta to Mexico and includes parts of Mexico and Alberta, as well as the Western United States. So we have a lot of regional diversity, not only in climate, but in the energy demand. For instance, the Northwest has its highest energy demand in the wintertime, and ours is in the summertime. And we participate in regional markets that pull in resources from almost all of those states. So, you know, we have the advantage of a very diverse system, whereas Texas was, you know, I mean, obviously Texas is huge, but they're much less diverse geographically and weather-wise than we are, and much less prepared in many of their facilities for you know, extreme cold than we are. That said, right, you know, we saw rolling power outages in California last summer because of wildfires. We've seen some threats here from wildfires that haven't necessitated outages yet, but Pacific Corp's ready to do that if they need to protect their system. You know, and of course, we have windstorms here that keep people out of power for days. And, you know, there's not a lot we can do to protect against that other than, you know, undergrounding new systems and quick responses to be resilient when areas go down like we've seen in, you know, Centerville's an area that happens a fair bit in. So, you know, we guard against these things by building robust enough to handle weather like this, but there's always risk, right? You never get rid of risk. And frankly, if you could, it'd probably be prohibitively expensive. And that's, I think, really what the issue was in Texas. It was how much were they willing to spend against which potential problems might be in the future. And
is that what was their system deregulated in that? And that's what led to it not being required to have some of these protections?
People will weigh in whether deregulation was responsible for that or not. I don't know. I mean, even the regulation that they'd still have in place through ERCOT, their grid manager and their Public Utilities Commission, they could certainly require, you know, certain levels of system hardening and protection, even under a deregulated system. They just haven't. And I don't know all the reasons why they've chosen not to do that. I mean, my understanding is, you know, despite labels like a 100-year storm, this is the kind of storm that they get not often, but it's not crazy rare, right? It's certainly something that they might have prepared against. And why they didn't, I don't know. But, you know, I think Utah's got a system that's pretty robust. It's pretty resilient in the sense that if one part of it goes down, you know, it can be walled off and we can still be supplied in other areas from other areas. And so it's unlikely we'd have anything as widespread as that. But, you know, I never want to say it's not possible.
Is part of the reason we're protected, Chris, because we participate in a multi-state system was Texas vulnerable in part because it was a single state power system?
I think so. I hesitate a little bit to use the state label, right? Because Texas is enormous. I mean, Texas could be six states, right? Depending on where you plop it in the country or more.
Okay.
So for me, it's less about, you know, those political boundaries than it is about the lack of diversity geographically, which isn't to say there's none in Texas, right? I mean, the northwestern parts of Texas get plenty cold, and I've been in ice storms in the northeastern part of Texas, but it lacks the broad diversity that the West has, right? I mean, we've got hydro resources and relatively moderate climates in the Pacific Northwest. We've got harsh, windy, blizzard conditions in Montana and Wyoming. We've got desert conditions in Arizona and, you know, California with most of all of those within its own boundaries. So I think it's that diversity of both load and supply, as well as weather, that really protects us.
I know that, you know, when something terrible like this happens, people turn to government to protect them. And when government isn't there, they feel wounded. And in this case, I have to wonder whether the people of Texas have been let down by their government, not just ERCOT isn't government, right? It's just...
It's a nonprofit that was established by their government to run the grid. So it's not really government, but it almost might as well be. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but.
Yeah. So I mean, I remember that statement that Professor Reagan said years ago, and I'm sure we use it as a joke now. If I'm here from the government and I'm here to help, scariest word you ever heard. But you know what? In a storm like this, you need government to help guarantee things and provide things to people. And I feel like for the state of Texas, that just didn't work somehow.
Yeah, it's tricky because, if regulators had imposed more robust requirements on some of this, on generation, transmission, and distribution facilities, it would have raised rates, right? And there would have been complaints about that. But there is a threshold obligation for regulators to meet. And, you know, what that is ultimately sort of a compact with the people and with the utilities. And you know, what Texas wants, I suspect, will be different after this than it was before. And, you know, we try here to anticipate these things and build a system that's really resilient. I hope we have. I think we have.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks to, you know, Rocky Mountain Power and those natural benefits that accrue to us from just where we are. I think we're fairly well protected, but you never know, right? I mean, what you do, someone's going to complain about it, and you've got to balance all of those considerations and find the right spot to land.
Well, let me ask you this last question before I let you go. This is the delicate balance, isn't it? Because someone will always complain to you, Director, as you know, complain to the Division of Public Utilities. Like you mentioned, they'll complain about the rates, but that, you know, those rates are there to impose protections.
Sure.
And yet when the storm comes, we're going to want those protections to be in place. So how do you make those decisions?
Sure. Yeah, that's, you know, it's really difficult. And there's a term in the utility world, gold plating, right? And you'll have ratepayer advocates in rate cases that will accuse the utility when they want to spend a lot of money investing in stuff like this of gold plating their systems and of just pouring capital into it that they can earn a return on. So there's that constant tension. And it really is a delicate balance. You have to decide what sort of system you want. And we saw, you know, I think it was 2003, we had some snowstorms in Salt Lake that caused some really big outages. And some of that was underspending by the utility at the time, which it was under different owners. And I don't want to, you know, saddle the current owners with that. But, you know, some was a lack of robust tree trimming programs, which the public hates, right? I mean, every time we do that, people complain about their trees. But when the snowstorm hits and takes down power lines because the trees weren't trimmed, that gets complained about too. So it really is a delicate balance that you have to manage all the time. And, you know, we hope and think we've done a pretty good job of it here.